Welcome to the Preaching the Truth broadcast with Evangelist Mike Helsley.
As I walked down the sidewalk of a sin-stricken city, I saw the misfortunes of man. A man in the gutter, lying there lifeless, clutching a bottle in his hand.
We invite you to join us today as we look into God's holy word.
Man's father, but now he's a prisoner. Thank God for the preacher who told me of Jesus, for I'd be a beggar.
And here he is, Evangelist Mike Helsley, with today's message.
Greetings, everyone, in the wonderful, mighty name of Jesus. This is Evangelist Mike Helsley welcoming you to this edition of the Preaching the Truth broadcast. This is the day in which the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. And I am so thankful, so honored, so blessed that you're getting to tune into our broadcast today. Praise God. It's called the Preaching the Truth broadcast here on VOTO Radio and Word of the Lord Internet Radio. And we're just so thankful today. And I get on every week, and I always start it off saying, this is the day. Praise God. This is the day. Think about that for a moment. You have been privileged another day to get up. By the grace of God, God has given you breath in your lungs, given you life to wake up. Don't take it for granted. I'm not saying that just loosely. I'm saying it because sometimes we get up every day and we get caught up in the hustle and bustle of life, and we don't really just take a moment just to say, thank you, Lord, for blessing us. There was a time for me that when I wake up, it'd be hard. And every day, I thank the Lord daily just for being able to get up by His grace and mercy, being able to breathe, being able to get up on my own to take care of myself when 17 years ago they told me I'd be in a nursing home and God saw fit to spare my life. Hallelujah. I'm just so thankful today. And y'all got to forgive Brother Helsley. I'm just very humbled and just appreciative to the Lord for how good He is to me. Hallelujah. And I pray He's been that way to you out there. And we welcome you today in Jesus' name. If this is your first time tuning in, I'm Evangelist Mike Helsley, and we welcome you today in Jesus' name. And if you're a repeat listener, welcome back. We're going to have a great time today. I want to get right into the Word because I've got a lot of stuff I want to cover today. And I want you, if you have your Bibles, go with me to Luke chapter 9. And we're going to begin reading in verses 57 down through 62. And then we're going to be over in Genesis as well. I've got a word today, and we need to really evaluate our individual walks. Praise God from this message that the Lord laid upon my heart this past week. And I want to share it with you today in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you today for this privilege and opportunity to preach and declare your word. Father, as I do every time, hide me behind the cross. May I decrease as you increase in every word, thought, deed, and action. I cover this broadcast today with the blood of Jesus. And I ask you, Lord God, anoint my lips as I speak and anoint the ears of the people as they receive. Father God, may we examine ourselves today. May we, after this word today, may we truly be cross bearers. May we get up daily and deny ourselves, take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. Help us to live a crucified life. Lord God, not just in word, but in our deeds, in our actions. And I ask you, Lord, to forgive me in any way if I failed you. Wash me in that precious blood of Jesus that He shed at the cross 2,000 years ago. And I just love you, Lord. Thank you for this privilege and this opportunity once again. I can't never exhaust it enough, Lord, to thank you. But I'll say it one more time. Thank you, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen and amen. Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 57. We're going to read down through verse 62 in Jesus' name. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. There's two now. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Boy, that would have been an offensive statement to the modern day church of today, because people live in the spirit of offense. Boy, they would be offended. They'd walk away. How could he dare say that to me? So here's a third. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Let me read that verse 62 one more time and listen to the words of Jesus here. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And saints of God, I want to use from a subject today. And I said today, after you hear this word, you will need to evaluate your individual walk. Not your family, not your ministry, but your individual walks. Because there is coming the day, saints of God, we will stand before Almighty God individually. Not as husband and wife, not as mothers or fathers, not as ministers over assemblies. We're going to give an account for all that too, but we're going to stand before God individually and give an account for what we have done individually before the Lord. And I'm taking my text out of verse 62, but I'm going to swap up the title just a little bit. And I'm going to ask you the question today, just like the Lord asked me. And I'm going to ask you, are we fit for the kingdom of God? Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So that's why the question that the Lord asked me, are you fit for the kingdom of God? And I'm asking you, and this is my title for my message, are we fit for the kingdom of God? In our text of scripture here, there are three different guys, three different individuals who give reasons as to why they can't follow Jesus when he called them. If you notice, when Jesus called them to follow him, they were quick to give a response. Most like people today, people is very quick to give reasons why they can't do something for the Lord. Have you ever done that? I know I have. The Lord has asked me to do things. I'd be like, Lord, I can't. I'm just not this. I think back at Moses, how he was like, I don't have the eloquent speech. I'm not good at speaking. We're so always so quick to give a reason why we can't do what the Lord asks us. And these three guys were examples right here. This passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62 is a lot that you don't hear much talked about anymore. And I've preached out of this many times over the years, but as of late I've went back and revisited it and just really been studying it out. Are we fit for the kingdom of God? These individuals, they say they want to follow Jesus, but it's as if they want to follow him on their own terms. We're like that too. When the Lord asks us to do something, we come up with reasons why we can't. And Lord, I'll do this once I get this off. I hear people today when you ask them what they're holding off on. Why are they waiting to give their life to Jesus? And they're like, well, I want to sow my wild oats. I want to live life to the fullest. I want to pay off bills. I want to go on vacations. For some reason, people think being a Christian, you got to be a fuddy-dud and just sit in a bunch of little house on the prairie clothes and just sing hymns. But you can experience life and life abundantly through Jesus Christ. Now, if you heard the broadcast last week, I was talking about be Christ-like in the way you dress. And I'll be honest with you, I had a lot of response on that broadcast because people felt like that was just a little bit too bold. Well, let me tell you something. You should be caring about the way you look And what I mean by that is you shouldn't be going out here trying to imitate the world, because that's the style of today. You are to follow Jesus. Deny yourself and what you want. Take of your cross daily and follow Jesus. Are we fit for the kingdom of God? Come on now. But we have to live our lives. Amen to God. Everything we do is a reflection of the Lord. And what I said last week is if you're going out here trying to dress and be like the world, you're not trying to be like Jesus. Paul says we are to be imitators of Christ. Every day I get up, I want to die out to Mike Helsley. I don't want to be Mike Helsley. I want to be an imitator of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be fit for the kingdom of God. Do you? And these three individuals right here, they were just kind of like, let me do this first. When Jesus calls us, we are to answer and we are to respond. And that's not the way that the world works today, because the world says, well, we've got to put him off and put him off. I guarantee you, if you would just answer the call and be obedient the first time, God will work it out. He doesn't work on the way we think he should work, because his ways and our ways are too different. Quit trying to make your ways, make his ways fit into your ways. Why don't you make your ways fit, amen, to God and do what he says? Why don't you just obey what the Lord says? And quit trying to switch it up. Quit giving him excuses. Quit giving him reasons why you can't do stuff. Quit giving him reasons why if he calls you, he's going to equip you. Amen? Glory to God in the highest. So many excuses today, and the devil's so willing to give you a box full of them. All you got to do is just accept them. I want to answer the call. Do you want to answer the call? Do you want to be fit for the kingdom of God? But if we're going to follow God, we must follow Him whenever and wherever He leads us. It may not be comfortable to the flesh. It may not be what so-and-so thinks. And I've had to learn for me over the years, saints of God, I used to always be concerned about my resume, about my job. You know, when you apply for a job, you submit a resume with all what you've done. And you know, we've been told over the years, oh, you don't need to be job hopping. And I mean, you need to be dedicated in the work you do. But sometimes the Lord will switch things up on you. I've heard so many people over the years talk about how the Lord has told them to leave a job. I remember one dear brother, he was sharing, one of his family members worked at UPS here in Louisville. And he woke up one morning and the Lord told him, you need to leave your job. And he's like, Lord, I've been there for a lot. This is my living. And the Lord told him, he said, you need to leave your job. Well, come to find out there was a shooting at his job. He finally answered the Lord and he called. I remember hearing him give his testimony, and he called and he said, listen, I'm not coming back. There was a shooting at that particular UPS place that he worked at. And if he had gone in that day, he'd been shot dead. And God has taken care of him and his family through that. If we're obedient to God, I've had to learn over the years, my resume doesn't matter. Because I've been called into the ministry to preach this gospel. I've been called into the service of the Master. And this resume is not going to get me to heaven. It's the blood of Jesus that will get you and I to heaven. It's if we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus that will get us to heaven. It's not how good your resume is. Amen to God. How faithful you've been to work every day. Praise God. You want to give your best to your job, but you don't want to make your job or make anything. Amen to God. Put that above God. In all things, do it as unto the Lord. Amen. But I've learned over the years, my resume is not important. Because my resume doesn't really matter. It's my obedience to the call of God. Amen? I want to be fit for the kingdom of God. I don't want to give God excuses. Do you? Over in Genesis chapter 12, go with me in Genesis, amen to God, chapter 12. And we're going to be in Genesis a little while. Hallelujah. We read of a man by the name of Abram who left everything to follow God. He left everything to go on to a land that the only way he would know he had arrived was when God told him to stop. Now, can you imagine living a life like that? When Jesus called these three men in Luke chapter 9, he wanted them to follow him. There wasn't, amen to God, they didn't have a backup plan. They didn't have a guaranteed income. They didn't have a promise. They just knew he said, follow me. And that should be good enough for us, the believers, when Jesus said, come, follow me, or get up and go. We should take him at his word. We put more trust and faith in the worldly system than we do the Lord's word. I wish we could have it the other way around. I wish we could put all of our confidence in the Lord. I wish we could treat our walk with the Lord the way we do our jobs, the way we do everything else, the way we treat sporting events, the way we treat watching the news. So many people out there today are so caught up on news feeds. And the Lord gave me a revelation that all these news feeds, these links and everything have demon spirits attached to them. That's why I don't follow the news. I don't watch the news. I don't want to renew my mind daily with the worldly news. I want to renew my mind, according to Romans 12 and 2, with the Word of God. I want to be fit for the kingdom of God. Do you? I think people talk a good game. But when the rubber meets the road and it comes down to putting action to your words, then that's where we have an issue. Come on now. So Abram was called of God to leave. He didn't tell him, this is where I'm going to take you. He said, I want you to get up and go. But see, if you study it out, Abraham wasn't perfect in following the Lord. He made mistakes along the way, just like many of us have. So as we look at this passage of Scripture here in Genesis 12, I'm going to show you eight things about following God. And I want you to write them down, amen? And there's probably a whole lot more, but that's just what I jotted down. Number one, following God begins with a call. Let's go to Genesis 12 and 1, amen? And I want you to take notes and write these down because this will help you. And you will be able to ask yourself at the end of this broadcast, am I fit for the kingdom of God? It's to help you grow in your walk with Jesus. That's why we preach the way we do. I don't get on here each week just to give you a little fluffed up message. I get on here to give you the word because most churches aren't preaching the word. Most pastors aren't declaring the truth of the gospel. Most preachers today are fluffing people with sugar-coated messages so they're not offended, so they don't leave, so they can keep the money coming in to keep on paying for that mortgage payment that God didn't really tell them to build that building because they're just doing it to keep up with the other church down the road. You're going to find out, amen to God, if you got a building that's paid off and God has blessed you, hallelujah to God. You ought to be faithful in that. Be faithful in those small beginnings. I thank God for little storefront and country churches, amen to God, who are faithful in what God has blessed them with and don't have to go out here and get a big old mortgage because they can't pay it. God didn't tell you to do that. You just took it upon yourself. The God of this world led you to do that so you could keep up with the Joneses because you're serving the God of self and not the Lord God in heaven. Hallelujah to God. Woo! Go over to His mighty name. Following God begins with a call. Genesis 12, 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Now God called Abraham to follow him and leave everything behind. But notice that this wasn't the first time that God called to Abraham. The text said that the Lord had said to Abram. So this implies that God had spoken to Abraham before, but when and where? God spoke to him while he was in Mesopotamia. Well, I butchered that. Mesopotamia, if I'm saying that right. That's a tongue twister right there. It tells us specifically this was Ur of the Chaldeans. This is known today as Iraq. Amen? The point is, God had already called Abraham. But Abraham didn't fully respond, so the Lord calls him again. Come on. God calls him to a second time. See, saints of God, God is gracious to us and doesn't give up on us. We give up, but God doesn't, because He sees the potential there in us. I wish sometimes we could see that. I wish we could see with the eyes of faith what God sees in us. Come on now. I don't know how long it was in between the time that God first called Abram while he was living in Ur until the next time God called him at Haran, but it had been some time since they had traveled 600 miles. And apparently they had settled down in Haran until Terah died. Now, one Bible commentator had suggested it was about 25 years between Abram's first and second call. Now, 25 years is a long time. But I find it gracious of God not to give up on Abraham. Amen? So let me ask you, is there something God has asked you to do in your life? Maybe He's called you to do something, but you keep putting it off. You're like one of those three men in Luke chapter 9. When Jesus bid them to come, they was like, well, Lord, let me do this. Lord, let me do this first. Have you been sidetracked a little? Maybe today God would want you to be reminded of the calling He put upon your life and you've just been putting it off. Are you fit for the kingdom of God? Come on now. The life of faith always begins with a call from God. Write that down. The life of faith, this walk of faith, always begins with a call from the Lord. In other words, we just don't start following God on our own. Abraham just didn't decide to start following God. It was a response to the call on his life. And the life of faith isn't initiated by us, saints of God. It's initiated by the Lord. He calls and we must choose if we will follow. Now I know, amen to God, this is going to get tight today, but amen to God, you need to evaluate where you're at with the Lord. The Bible is clear that no one can come to Him unless the Spirit draws them first. That's the Word of God. And see here, the call of Abram raises some questions that the Bible doesn't really give the answer to. First, why did the Lord pick this one man out of all the men of the earth? Why didn't God just choose some of the other inhabitants of the world or of Ur to call this new adventure called faith? Abram was a pagan and an idolater. So what made God choose him? Now the answer to those questions is, I don't know. I don't know why the Lord chose him. And I may not know that. But He had a reason for it. And so I'm going to ask you a question. Why does God call anyone? Think about that for a moment. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God ever since sin entered into existence into the Garden of Eden. Mankind has been infected with the infection of sin. And God already had an infinite plan from the foundation of the world that the Lamb of God would be slain according to the book of Revelation that John wrote by the leading of the Spirit. The Lamb of God was to be slain before the foundation of the world because when Satan and a third of the angels were cast out for their rebellious way, trying to be like, to overshadow and take over heaven, God already knew He had to put a plan in motion because He knew how violent and angry the devil was going to be on mankind. So Jesus, amen to God, was going to come in the form, God in the form of a man, Christ Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary, amen to God. And I'm saying this because a lot of people discredit the virgin birth. Well, she messed around a little bit. She got pregnant with Joseph. No, she did not. She was, praise God, a virgin when she had the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God forevermore. Why does God call anyone? Why did He call you and not your neighbor? Think about that a moment. Why did He call you and not your co-worker? And the answer to those questions dwell within the clouds of God's sovereign grace. And the answer may not be for us to know, but we just need to answer the call. Glory to God. Are you fit for the kingdom of God? Amen. Regardless of why God calls who He does, those who have been called by Him should rejoice in the fact. Amen to God. When we answer the call and we've been gotten born again, amen to God, that we are saved and secure in the blood of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah to God. When God draws a sinner to the foot of the cross. Amen to God. And they give in and they give their life to Jesus. Amen to God. Oh, what a day it is. The Bible says that the angels in heaven are rejoicing over one sinner that gets saved. Hallelujah. Jesus made it clear that he left the 99 righteous to go after the one, the lost lamb. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for that today. I'm thankful why God calls people. Amen to God. We may not know, never know the reasoning. But God has, amen to God, he knows why he's doing these things, because he sees the full potential in individuals. Number two, following God involves separation. Whew, this is tight. God tells Abraham to leave his country and relatives behind and go to a land that he's never been before. Abraham is to break away from everything that he knows, from everything that's familiar and comfortable, and follow the call of God. Are you able to do that? Come on now. Now, why would God ask Abraham to leave his family? Because, see, his family was going to be a hindrance to him in what the Lord wanted him to do. Come on now. Hallelujah to God. Abram's father, Terah, served other gods while at Ur. Ur was known for its worship of the Sumerian moon god named Nanna, N-A-N-N-A. God didn't want Abram to be influenced by all of his family, so he told him to leave. Get up and go. Notice the word thee in verse 1 here in Genesis 12. Thee. Yet when they left Ur, notice that it was they who went. If you read Genesis 11:31 there. So it seems that Abram compromised by not separating from his family as he had been ordered and told by the Lord. He failed to fully submit to the Lord's call. Now, a lot of people, when God calls them to do something, they'll give in about 50%. They want to hang on to the world and hang on to the things of God. And when God calls you, you fully got to surrender. Going back to our main text in Luke 9 here. If the men would have just given in and followed Jesus. I got to go bury my father. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And I go back to the man whose father died because he said, let me go bury my father, then I'll come. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. There's nothing more you can do. Your father has died. But everybody wants to go back and do one more thing before they submit to the call of God. That's why people don't really get into the full potential that God has for them, because they won't give in first. What would happen? Let's turn this around for a moment. We fail to fully submit to God's call, but what would happen if God, when he called us, failed to supply and take care of us during the call? We give up all to follow him, but then God says, well, maybe I'll take care of you down the road. What would happen if the Lord did to us the way we do to him? Oh, people would get mad then. See, it's not really fair the way we treat God, but we expect God to bless us, but we treat him like he's second fiddle. We ain't got time for him. We're really not fit for the kingdom of God, because we keep starting out, but keep looking back. We keep starting out, but we keep looking back. We keep starting out, but keep looking back. We end up like Lot's wife. And he said, don't look back. To when I destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and she looked back. And she turned into a pillar of salt. Many of you keep starting out on this road. You start taking up your cross and following the Lord and stop and keep looking back. You keep stopping and looking back. You keep looking back to the things you left behind. Don't look back to the things you left behind. Keep on going forward. Stay grounded on this straight and narrow path. Hallelujah to God. See, I've said this before, and I'm going to revisit this again. Because many people, when God calls them, God has to come first over your spouse, over your children, over your job, over your finances, over anything. And the day in which we live in today, because I've heard this said before and I'm going to correct it again. When men and women get married and they have kids, the spirit of the age, the time that we're living in, people, I've heard some women say this before, my children mean more to me than my spouse. It's God first, your spouse second, then your children. Now, a lot is not going to agree with that statement, but that is correct. God has to be before your husband, your wife, your children. It's God first, your spouse next, because the two become one. The husband and wife become twain. Amen to God. And then your children. Quit trying to put your kids before your husband and before the Lord, because the Lord can take them away. He has graciously blessed you with children. He has blessed you with a spouse. Hallelujah to God, so you won't get yourself in trouble. But you can't put them before Him. He's always got to be first. Go over to God. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Come on now. Woo, this is good preaching right here. But it wasn't until the death of his father Terah that Abram left Haran to go to where God was leading him. The name Terah means a station or delay. It has the idea of a stopping place, a resting area, or a roadblock. Apparently, Terah was a roadblock between Abraham and his doing the will of God. However, when Terah was removed from the scene, listen now, Abram was ready to move on in the things of God. And God now tells him to leave the rest of his family behind and keep going. Abraham was called to separate himself from everything that would hinder the progress of the walk of faith. So Terah here is a type of the flesh and other things that hinder our progress in the things of God. Until those things are taken care of, there will be little or no progress in your life, in your walk of faith with the Lord. So I want to ask you today, what is your Terah? If you aren't exactly where the Lord wants you to be, you have a Terah. And you need to get it removed. It's a hindrance to you. You have a roadblock between you and your doing what the Lord has told you to do, and it has to go, it has to die. So what's holding you back? Go over to God. Anything that would hinder us from making progress has to be removed from our lives. Lord, remove anything that would hinder my walk with you. Remove anything. Remove any obstacles. Anything. If it's family, if it's jobs, if it whatever it is, remove it so I'm in your perfect will. That's where we should desire to be every day, is the will, is to see the will of God performed in our lives every day. And if you want to know His will for your life, read His Word. His Word will define His will over your life, to let you know if you're fit for the kingdom of God. Come on now. Sometimes God's call requires us to make a choice between people and Him. What are you going to choose? And it seems important for God to tell Abram to leave his father's house. He needed to leave behind this house that worshiped that moon god Nana. God wanted Abram to follow Him and Him alone. So, saints of God, God's call requires us to leave the old life behind. Quit looking back. Take of your cross daily. If you start out on this plow, no man is fit for the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said if he keeps starting out on the plow and keeps looking back. Quit looking back to what God is delivering you and setting you free from. God doesn't want you to be half-hearted, who only goes part of the way with Him. God wants you to be completely serious about following Him. There's no 99.9%. It's got to be 100% or nothing. But people want to do it half-heartedly. That's where people get in trouble. Like, come on, saints of God. Number three, following God involves trust. Woo! That's something we don't want to do, is trust the Lord. Because we can't see it. We can't control it with our own will and our own emotions and our own everything we do. We have to trust God. Abram didn't know where he was going, so he had to trust God completely. Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and he didn't know where he was going. Notice that he didn't ask God for any directions. He simply trusted and obeyed God. Can you do that today? That's hard. I'm not going to lie to you. It's hard. I've been serving Jesus over 30 years now. I've been in ministry 29 years. And I tell you, there's times it's hard to trust when God says, get up and go, and you see what's going on around you. You have to walk by faith and not by sight. You have to know that God's going to get you through and get you out. You have to know that God's going to open the Red Sea and you're going to walk on dry ground, even though Pharaoh and his army's chasing you. You got to stand still sometimes and just see the setting. Now, let me correct that. You got to stand still and see the salvation of God. Not sometimes, all the time. Glory to God in the highest. Sometimes the go comes before the where. See, we want to know where before we go. But sometimes the go comes before the where. Hallelujah to God. We want to know all the details of the trip before we say yes. Those three, and back in Luke 9, they wanted to know all the details. Jesus said, follow me. Come on now. But they had excuses. They had things they would keep doing. Sounds like a lot of us today. I'm guilty of it. And I'm sure you out there under the sound of my voice have been guilty of just letting go and letting the Lord have His way. See, I don't like that bumper sticker they made years ago, God is my co-pilot. No, He is my pilot. He directs me and guides me. I don't want to be co-pilot. I'll mess up. That's only going halfway if you're co-pilot with God. Let Him be the pilot and guide your ship. Hand men to God along the way. We want to feel comfortable. But God often doesn't give us the details because He wants us to trust Him. Comfort, amen to God, is the flesh. That's what the devil wants you to, that's what he wants you to stay in the flesh for, is to be comfortable. I don't want to be comfortable. Mess up my life. Hallelujah to God. When the man was lowered down by his friends, they had to tear the roof off. And it messed up that individual's home. Sometimes Jesus has to mess up our lives so He can get our attention to let His will be done. Are we fit for the kingdom of God? Amen to God. Only you can answer that. Only I can answer that. You can only change the direction of a car when it's moving. If you're looking for God's direction in your life and you aren't sure what He wants you to do, perhaps maybe you just need to start moving. We want to know the where before we go. Sometimes we just need to go, and God will tell us the where. Come on now. Maybe do the last thing God asked you to do. Just start serving. Well, that's something people don't want to do, is be a servant. Jesus was the ultimate servant. Glory to God. Think about when my Lord washed the feet of His disciples. He didn't have to do that. But He said, if you don't let me wash your feet, you can't take part with me. My, hallelujah to God. Sometimes we just got to start serving. That's part of the call to go, is to be a servant. Now, I'm not talking about people taking advantage of you, because there's people that will do that even in ministry. And I pray, amen to God, when you answer the call, amen to God, that you will just submit to God and God will take care of you. He really will. He'll protect you and preserve you just like He was going to do for Abraham here. All Abraham had was a promise from God. But he trusted God's word. When all you have is what God has said to you, you can believe what God has said to come to pass. Because all you need is a promise from God and you can make it. Hallelujah to God. You ought to write that down. We have to follow God by faith and not by sight. But everybody wants to go by sight and not by faith. Because faith, amen to God, is what, hallelujah to God, faith, amen to God, in something you can't see. In a call, amen to God, that hasn't manifested yet. In faith in the Word of God to say go, but you don't know where. Come on now. Hallelujah. We have to live by the promises of God and not explanations. Come on. We live our Christian lives based on what God says, not what we see or feel. And if we're going to follow the Lord, we have to trust Him. Amen. Number four, following God always requires obedience. Woo, come on now. In verse number four here we read, we've already seen that Abram wasn't obedient the first time God had called him, but this time he went out after God had called him. There doesn't seem to be any hesitation from him this time. Abraham has removed the distractions and the hindrances, and he's ready to be obedient to the call of God. See, saints of God, it's much easier to obey God when you remove hindrances and distractions from your life. Because the devil always will bring excuses and hindrances and distractions to keep you bound up, to keep you from going. I need to know where before I go. Lord, let me just go and you'll show me where. Like, hey, call it on my advance, just burning in my spirit. Hallelujah to God. Some of you out there, you need to just go. You need to go, G-O, and not worry about where. Because where he's going to take you is to the land flowing with milk and honey, praise God. Hallelujah. You're going to go through this life and there's going to be trials and tribulations and battles and tests. Amen to God. But this ain't our final home. We're just passing through. Amen to God. Don't end up like the children of Israel who could have a two-week journey took them 40 years because of their murmuring and complaining, because they were fussing and griping. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted to go back to the old life. And the Lord said, go. They're like, where? Go. 2 weeks, 14 days, less than 14 days, and it took them 40 years. 40 years. Fussing, griping, murmuring, and complaining at the leading and the call of God. They didn't have faith in Moses. They didn't have faith in his leadership, but oh, but when they got to the Red Sea, amen to God, that would have done it for me. But then I can't say that, though, because Jesus' disciples seen all the miracles that he did, and they still doubted. So it doesn't matter if you see miracles or you see great things that God has done. The people walk through on the Red Sea, the dry ground of the Red Sea, and still they murmur, they complain. It's because that old sin nature, that old flesh has to be crucified. Are we fit for the kingdom of God? Come on now. When you get rid of distractions, it becomes much easier to obey God. Lord, remove distractions and hindrances from my life so I can obey you fully. Come on now. See, Abram's delay in obedience was costly to him. The longer you keep delaying the call to go, it's going to keep costing you. It's going to keep, things are going to keep happening until you finally say, yes, Lord. Come on. When he lingered in Haran, precious years passed him. Those were years that could have been spent enjoying serving the Lord. But he wasted time. Many of us waste time. If we would answer the call of God years ago, amen to God, we wouldn't have went through some of the things we've done. Lost precious time. Many of you lost time because you said no. You should have said yes. Are we fit for the kingdom of God? Do we keep starting out on this road, keep looking back? If we do, we're not fit. Instead, those years were spent watching his father that he loved waste away. Those years were spent being grieved by the sins of a family who still were in idolatry. But God was gracious to Abraham and gave him another opportunity. How many opportunities does he keep giving us when we mess up and fall? That is because we're still under this dispensation of grace. Hallelujah, because of Christ and what he did at the cross. You might as well just go and not worry about the where, saints of God. But it's always best to hear God's voice and heed God's voice immediately. When he calls, you answer. He called Samuel three different times. Hunter said this one time to me years ago when he was younger. Hunter said, Daddy, what if he would have just answered the first time instead of three times when God called Samuel? Samuel kept getting up and going asking. He said, was it you, Eli? And Eli, I think he knew it was God calling him. But what if he would have just answered the first time? Come on now. We don't have time to delay in obeying God. So I want to ask you, have you been putting something off that God's asked you to do? And if you have, the time for delay is over. It's time to answer and respond and do what God says. Following God requires a complete obedience from us. And this was something Abram didn't want to do to begin with. He left Ur of the Chaldeans but settled in Haran until his father died. Always remember, saints of God, that partial obedience is simple disobedience. Just because you're 50% in don't mean you're obeying God. Come on. Until you have done all God says to do, you haven't done what God said to do. Now write that down. You need to get that in your spirit, amen? Number 5, following God involves surrender. Woo, come on now. Let's read verse 5 here. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. Into the land of Canaan they came. See, verse 5 tells us that when Abraham left to follow the Lord, he took all their substance. In other words, when the Lord got Abraham, the Lord got everything he had. And it's apparent that Abraham was fully surrendered and totally committed to following the Lord at this time. He took his immediate family and all of his belongings with him. And this reveals that he had no plans to turn back on God. Hallelujah. When we fully sell out to the Lord, praise God, God will take us from where we were to where he wants us to be, where we're destined to be. See, Abraham wasn't planning on returning to Haran. See, following God requires total surrender, saints of God. We can't follow God and continue to depend on our past, the possessions, on our abilities, on our talents, because they won't work. You can't gauge the level of a person's commitment to the Lord by how much of the person's stuff has been dedicated to the Lord. Come on now. When you dedicate your all to the Lord, when you give 100%, not 99.9%, you'll see a person's commitment. You'll see how far they're willing to go. You'll see if they're going to tarry at the altar, amen to God. You got people, amen to God, who start out praying, they quit after 5 minutes. Nobody waits on God. Nobody waits and is obedient to His calling, because we want to do it our way and not God's way. Come on now. We get hung up on the tithe, and I believe that a person ought to be paying their tithes and offerings. But let me say this to you. What do you do with the other 90%? And God only requires 10%, but what you do with the other 90% of that money is just as important to the Lord as what you do with 10%. God doesn't just want His part, He wants your part too. See, all God asks us for is a tenth of our income. And many of you don't even give that, and if you do give that, how do you give it? People give it begrudgingly. The Bible talks about that God loveth a cheerful giver. Many of you pay your tithes and offerings faithfully, but you don't want to give it. And then when you do give it, what are you doing with the 90% that God allows you to keep? Because He allows you to keep it. He protects you and preserves you and keeps you, amen to God, from the attacks and the battles of the devil. Come on now. He gives us what He does so we might use it for His glory and for His work. Everything He gives us is to be used for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Anytime a preacher ever asks for money, the Lord told me, amen to God, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, to start asking for help. And I always struggled with that because I'm like, well, you know, preachers out here abuse that. And we are very faithful in the support we get financially from our partners and friends, amen to God. We don't have a lot that doesn't. But those who do, we are very committed and we're very appreciative. And God knows. And people know what we do with the seeds that's sowed into our ministry, because it produces what comes every week. My calling is to preach this gospel faithfully. My calling is not to sugarcoat the message. It's not to fluff you, to give you what you want to hear. Because if you listen to last week's broadcast, a lot of people did not hear what they wanted to hear because I gave them the truth of the gospel. Quit dressing hoochie-fied. Quit dressing like you're going to go work the corner. Quit dressing and giving into the flesh. When you follow God, you give all that mess up. You want to, everything you do in your life is to bring glory, honor, and praise unto Him. Not to your flesh. Not to fit in the certain styles and wear the certain styles of the world. Just so you can look good and just have a haircut of somebody or have an outfit of somebody. Be imitators of Christ. Come on now. Totally sell out to Him. Glory to God forever. That's why some folks don't ever have anything. They peel off a dollar for the Lord and spend the rest of the 10 on themselves and the things of the world. And God won't bless and honor that. When He has you in your checkbook, He can bless you in ways you can never imagine. And I'm not preaching on money right here, but that's one thing that holds people back, is their money. That is, the Bible says that the love of mammon is the root of all evil. The love of money. Not money, because the Lord knows you have to have money to function in this world, to buy things, to pay your bills, to buy food, to buy gas and stuff. It's the love and the lust of money, the things you do to get that money. Sad but true. And by the way to get is to give. And that's not a motive for giving to the Lord and in His name, but it's a benefit. God will bless you. Because when He has all of you, including your finances, He can bless you in ways like never before. And people, and that word has been just abused over the years, the word blessing. Because everybody gets on there and the first thing they talk about when blessing, they think money, money, because the prosperity pimps have just abused it. They get on there, if you give the Lord 1,000, He'll give you 10,000. You're giving with a greedy heart. God won't bless that. He won't honor that. You're just wasting your money. You're listening to the God of the world. And those preachers on TV, the prosperity preachers, they wouldn't spit on you if he's on fire, saints of God. I'm just being honest. You're talking about like Kenneth Copeland and Joel Osteen and all those on Daystar and TBN who are the millionaires, Jesse Duplantis and all them. They work in money. And they talk about how they love people. And I know people, I know it's two-sided, I get that. But they have made their God their money. Finances is, one preacher told me years back, and I respected this man so well, and he really just, it broke my heart to hear the statement he made. He said, all God has called him to do is preach on his finances. God has called me to preach to the lost and dying. It's about souls, to see souls won to Jesus, amen? It ain't about just finances, amen to God. Glory to God. So how much of your stuff does the Lord have, or do you have your pile in God's pile? And if you do, I guarantee you that your pile is bigger. When you surrender fully to Him 100%, it doesn't matter about your pile because it's all God's. And God will bless you and He'll take care of you. You're under His covenant. You're under His care. Amen. And you better be careful because He might blow on your pile. And if He ever does, there won't be anything left of your pile. And so, by the way, and I'm hitting on this, if you have a problem with your tithes and offerings, you really don't have a problem with that. You have a problem with your heart. That's the issue of everything. It's a heart problem. Come on now. But now the real issue here is bigger than just God wanting our money, because the real issue is about surrender. God doesn't need your money. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. God, amen to God, He is our source. God wants us to surrender 100% to Him. The real issue is, does God have all of us, or does God have everything? I want Him to have all of me. I want to be fit for the kingdom of God, and I hope you do too. And the only way to enjoy this walk is to fully come into a place of total surrender where everything is on the altar. You might think as you read the life of Abraham that God wanted Abraham's stuff, and that's not it. God didn't need his stuff. He isn't interested in our stuff. All God ever wanted from Abraham was Abraham, and all God ever wants from you is you. All He wants from me is me. Number 6, following God involves opposition. Verse number 6, and Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moriah, and the Canaanite was then in the land. This verse says, and the Canaanite was then in the land. That statement reveals how much about the country that Abraham was moving into. The Canaanites were godless people. They were trapped in the system of religion that involved the worship of many false gods. They practiced human sacrifice, various fertility rites, and had no regard for morality or decency. Come on now. Abram was headed into a hostile territory where no one would be sympathetic to his lifestyle or his God. Yet he was determined to follow God regardless of the opposition from darkness that he faced. Nothing has changed since Abraham's day, saints of God. Those who determine that they will live a life of total dedication to the Lord soon discover the Canaanite is still in the land. Come on now. The world, the flesh, and the devil, as you've heard me say, have no sympathy whatsoever with our desire to live for the Lord. And if you choose to live a life of total dedication, surrender to Him, you might as well know up front there's going to be opposition. And I'm not going to lie to you and say, well, praise God, you're going to tiptoe and everything's going to be great. No, you're going to face some battles. If Jesus did it, you're going to do it. I'm going to do it. Amen? In spite of the fact that the world is against every child of God who truly surrenders to Him, we should still determine in our hearts that as long as there is breath in our bodies provided by our Heavenly Father, we're going to live for the Lord regardless of the personal cost. I'm going to deny myself and take up my cross daily and follow Him. Amen? People's going to mock you and ridicule you, but they did it to Jesus and He said they'll do it to you. Number 7, praise God. Following God involves faithfulness. Abram journeyed going on still towards the south. This passage closes by telling us that Abram continued on his journey with the Lord. He had many stops along the way, but he kept his eyes on God and kept walking by faith. The reason he walked faithfully with God because he wasn't tied to this world anymore. Abraham was living on this earth, but his sights were already set on heaven. That's how he could remain faithful. And if we want to follow God the same way faithfully, we must remember that we're simply passing through this world. Are we fit for the kingdom of God? This world is not our home, saints of God. We shouldn't be comfortable in this place. We should feel out of place. We should feel like strangers and foreigners and aliens in this world. May the Lord help us, amen to God, to get our eyes and hands off this whole world and faithfully follow Him. That's what I want to do. I want to be faithful to Him. Praise God. Number 8, following God involves times of testing. Verse number 10 said, there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. See, he had been faithful and obedient, but now his faith was getting tested. The verse says there was a famine in the land and he went down to Egypt, which is a type of flesh. But he didn't stay there forever. Notice that he didn't seek God to find out what he should do. And I believe if he would have sought the Lord and asked the Lord, God would have told him to stay put and trust Him. But in this moment of crisis, Abraham panicked like we all do. And he became faithless, so he decided to do his own thing like many of us do. And we're not fit for the kingdom. And there's going to be times when trials come and our faith will be put to the test. And we will have to decide what we will do. We can trust God or trust our own plans. Egypt is symbolic to the world. To the world, the flesh, and the devil. And Abraham began to rely on the world instead of relying on God. And it's easy, amen to God, to do that when we take our eyes off the Lord. Amen? We got to trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. And we often will look to this world as our source rather than God. God is our source, saints of God. It's easy to trust God when everything's going good. But can you still trust Him when everything's going wrong? Are you fit for the kingdom of God? Can you trust Him when famine hits? Can you trust Him when the storm comes? Can you trust Him when you lose your job? Can you trust Him when the doctor says your sickness is incurable? Can you trust Him when your money's gone? Come on now, I've been there. Can you trust Him when your spouse leaves you? When there's chaos in the home? Can you still trust Him? Well, you don't know my marriage situation, Brother Mike, but can you trust God? We just can't be fair weather believers. We've got to be fully sold out to the Lord. We must trust Him and follow Him whether we're on the mountain or in the valley. He's still God either way, and He's still good no matter what we're facing in life. So I want to ask you this as we're closing out today, praise God. Woo, I tell you, boy, this has blessed me today. When He spoke this in my spirit the other night, I've been chewing on this for several days now. I want to be fit for the kingdom of God. So let me ask you this. Will you follow Him wherever He leads? Will you follow Him regardless of the cost? I want to follow Him 100%. I want to be totally sold out. Will you be like the three that back in our main text here of Luke chapter 9 verses 57 through 62? Are you fit for the kingdom of God? If he says go, will you just go? Or are you going to continue to question where? Father, forgive us where we have questioned you. Question your leading and guiding and directing. Forgive us, Lord. Wash us in the blood of Jesus and help us, Lord, to be fit for the kingdom of heaven. I want you to evaluate yourself from this message today, because I tell you, this is true. And we need to, praise God, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Well, this is Evangelist Mike Hilsa saying, God bless you and I love you. Our time has run out. And I want you to just think about this message you've heard today and evaluate yourself. Am I fit for the kingdom of God? Do I keep starting out and keep looking back? Do I question where when he says go? Just go. Obey. I'll close out on this note. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Until next week, remember to keep looking up. Jesus may come tonight. I love you and appreciate your contact information with the end of the broadcast. We love you. We thank God for you. And I'm going to close out with this statement. If you want to be fit for the kingdom of God, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Goodbye now. I love and appreciate you. Until next week, keep looking up. Jesus may come tonight.
Thank you for listening to Preaching the Truth with Evangelist Mike Helsley. We invite you to share with us any prayer requests or praise reports or comments that you might have. You can write us by writing Evangelist Mike Helsley, P.O. Box 633, Hillview, Kentucky 40129. That's P.O. Box 633, Hillview, Kentucky 40129. Or you can call us by calling area code 502-930-5503. You can also visit us on the internet at www.preachingthetruth.net. That's preachingthetruth.net. It is our prayer that today's broadcast has been a blessing to you. This broadcast and ministry is listener supported. When getting in touch with us, please prayerfully consider sending a love gift to help us to continue to take the message of Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross around the globe. Thank you for listening to the Preaching the Truth broadcast with Evangelist Mike Helsley.